This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to commence reading at verse 1, Isaiah 56, beginning at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch, that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons, than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, as you are seated in his presence. This is one of the bittersweet chapters in Isaiah, how it brings to focus and to light both the joys of the Lord and those of his servants who honor him, who make sacrifices and serve him willingly, even as those who give committedly their whole hearts to the work and to the walk of the Lord. And then as you continue to read down, you're going to see that God rewards those who honor him and live for him, and how he places a value on that kind of service dedicated and wholehearted to him. And so his rewards to them vary, but the end result is that he is pleased and they profit. And then eternally he shall remember them and give them place in his presence. But then you keep on walking, and then you find out that God is displeased with the leaders and the shepherds and those who are watchmen over Israel. He's displeased at how they have turned their responsibility of watching and working and leading the people of God to their own personal selfish gains and glories, and how God himself views them in a very negative and dim light. Yes, to whom much is given, but much is required. And so God deals with Isaiah here as he brings to light and focus the reality of how God sees both those who are obedient servants and those who are disobedient shepherds, leaders, and those who are accounted to watch over Israel against the enemy, both satanic-wise and those who were supposed to be watchmen in the physical realm for the enemy in the natural sense. Coming. Let's walk through the text, if you will, now. He starts off by establishing in this word that judgment and justice are to be kept by the people of God, and especially those who administer the truth. For he says, my salvation is near to come. And then he says, my righteousness to be revealed. Now again, all of this is prophetic, and it's speaking again about the coming of Christ and the true salvation that would be found in Jesus Christ, and the revelation of God's glorious plan for man would be revealed on a whole new level, and they would understand that he's a God of justice, he's a God of righteousness, he is a God who honors your walk when your walk is right before him, but he's a just enough God to straighten it out or you out if it is not right. And so he's making all of this clear when he says, blessed is the man that doeth this. What? That keeps his commandments, his judgments, do justice, and who abides under his covenant. He says, and the son of man that layeth hold on it. In other words, the preacher, the leader, those who are in charge, they have a responsibility to give it and to live it. But then those who hear it are responsible for getting it and holding on to it, because they also are accountable to the God who has spoken it. And he says, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and keeping his hand from doing any evil. This is following, again, the word of God, the will of God. This is establishing the day as a holy day and making sure that God is honored in this day. Verse 3 says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Now listen at this, because again, it's talking about the foreigner, those who have come into the Lord, who were not the original people of the Lord, coming to the Lord and thinking that God would not be pleased at the merging of all people, even though he had made certain promises to Israel. God is a God of love, and so inclusive are all those who come to the Lord. But if you come to the Lord, you must surrender and submit your will to the Lord's will. The eunuch who is dedicated to the Lord, sold out to the Lord, cannot get married, cannot have a family, cannot extend his name in the earth realm, and so forth and so on. God deals with this, because even though we give our lives to the Lord and separate ourselves for the Lord, there are still natural tendencies in the natural man that long and yearn to have a lineage and a heritage and a following and a posterity. And so God deals with all of this. Verse 4 says, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place,
and a name better than of sons and of daughters. Now you see, one of the privileges of family is the fact that you can pass on to your sons and your daughters the wonderful heritage of God, your name, and all of those things that make for a continuation of godly living in the earth realm that also bears your name. Men who are blessed to have families want to know that their name carries on through their sons and their daughters, etc. And so the eunuchs, many times, who knew that they could not marry and not father children, had that longing to have children, etc. God says to them that I want you to know I'm going to give you, one, a place, and two, I'm going to give you a name. So, and the only reason why they want the name is extended so that the name does not be extinct. But if God says I'm going to remember your name,
all right,
then you don't have need for someone else to bear your name so that your name is remembered. So listen at what he says. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off when sons and daughters are cut off. That name of the servant of the Lord who serves the Lord will be everlasting, God says to them. Look at verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth his of the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Not separated, not segregated, but unified. Those who belong to the Lord, he was not making a distinction between Israel and the strangers who joined themselves. He's calling and considering all them his children who come and love, who surrender and serve him as one. And he said, I'm going to bring him to my holy mountain, to my place of dwelling, and I'm going to let them come, and I'm going to receive their sacrifices and their burnt offerings. He says, and they will be invited to my house, which shall be called the house of prayer for all people. He makes no prejudicistic limitations between his people and those who were not originally his people, but because of love, who love him. He loves all, but who loves him is invited into this fold, into this family. And so he honors them as well. Verse 8 says, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. Now listen to what he says. He's the God that gathers the outcasts. Now this is important because as he speaks to Israel as a whole, there are remnants. There are those who have left, those who have forsaken him, those who have been casted out of the will of God, the word of God, the way of God, because of their acts, their deeds, their sins, etc. He says he's going to gather those outcasts to those that he has already gathered, the Israelites who have been faithful and been there. But he says beyond the outcast of Israel and the gathered of Israel, they've got some more folk, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we're included at. He's going to gather us also into his holy family and into his presence and company. And so he makes clear he is the one, verse 8, the Lord God which gathereth. And what I'm glad about is the fact that if God is doing the gathering, I don't have to be subjected to man's prejudices. Because God is really going to see the real me when others only see the outside of me, the external parts of me. Aren't you glad that God sees you, knows you, and receives you for who you are? You ain't got to pretend with God, make believe with God, act like you're this or that with God. God knows you better than you know yourself, and yet he still desires to call you closer to him. And those are the rewards of those who are obedient and who serve the Lord. But because God is just, because God is righteous, he cannot see sin and let sin stay in the same place where he abides. So look at how God calls out through Isaiah hear these folk that he see. Verse 9, he says, all ye beasts of the field, what do? Come to devour. Listen to what he says. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. Now he's talking about those who are connected to Israel, who are not sheep, but they are beasts, which means they are wolves and they are predators, and all of those folk who come to prey on the sheep, who come to prey on the people of God, he's speaking to them. But then he doesn't limit it to those who are closely connected. When he says beast of the forest, he extends it now to all nations who come to prey on Israel or prey on the people of God. And so look at what he says. He says, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. Now let's walk through this here, because each word gives a different view of how messed up those who are in leadership, his shepherds and his watchmen and his leaders are. First thing he says, they are blind. Why are they blind, God? Because he says you've got some wolves, some predators right there in the congregation that you can't even see. All right. Because you're blind. Now, see, this is one of the words that some people don't like to hear. And the only people, I'm going to tell you right now, that don't want to hear this are the ones that it affects the greatest. Because there are some things I can't say as a preacher, but there's nothing I can't say as a pastor that relates to the people God has given me the oversight of. And so that may be some things you don't like. I'm sorry you don't like it. Get it together so you won't have to have no problem with it. But I am under warrant to say what God has said, even when it steps on my own feet. Because if I miss my feet, I'm gonna mess a whole lot of other feet that would be touched if I don't say what God says to say. They are blind. What does that mean? That means that they literally cannot see the wolves and the predators in their congregation. And listen, as a watchman, what is the purpose of a watchman but to watch? I had a deacon in my former church. I had shared some revelation of some things that I had received the Lord, and so convicted was the brother that he said, Pastor, who told you that? And I said, the Lord told me that. He said, but who else told you? And then he said, you better watch them people that come tell you all of that stuff. I said, brother, my job is to watch everybody. And in watching everybody, I see everything that God wants me to see. And so here you've got to understand that sometimes the people that you have to watch are the people who are closest to you. That they line up, that they are in conjunction and connection with what God has said. I mean, when you begin to look at Jesus and how Jesus dealt with all of the other folk, the folk he was most connected with and concerned about were the folk who were right around him. When everybody else turned in John chapter 6 and they heard the sayings that Jesus said that were too hard to hear, they turned and walked no more with him. He didn't go crying behind those folk. He turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? I mean, because what I need to be concerned about are those who are here. So he says, the reason why, and verse 8 again reveals that he's going to draw everybody. But in verse 9, he says, there are some beasts in the field and beasts in the forest. And the problem is, the watchmen can't even see them. They are blind. Now, you know what I do realize? God still holds me responsible for what I don't see. Under my watch. It doesn't matter, listen at this, that it had happened and I did not recognize it in God's sight. It doesn't matter that I didn't see it, because according to this word, if I was not blind, I would have seen it. Now, how do you become blind? You become blind when you lose sight of what God has said versus what folks say. You become blind when you become insensitive to your assignment, and you become comfortable with folk to the point where you willingly see not what you do see. Blind in the sense that you understand, I am your shepherd. You don't have to like me. I really wish that we could love one another, but you ain't got to like me. You don't come here Sunday morning after Sunday morning just to say, oh, I like Pastor, I like the way he preached. Because I've got some things that I've got to say that don't come from me, that comes through me, that God has to say. And you might not like them, and because you might not like them, you attach them to me because I was the voice God used to say it. But listen, I've got to be beyond whether you like it or not, because God has said it. And so because you are my friend, because you are my comrade, because you are my co-laborer, I cannot turn my eyes away from that you are doing and think God is going to honor me.
That's right. That's it.
So when you are there and I see that you are not right, I've got to say, brother, that's not right. I've got to say, sister, that's not right. I know you're my friend. I know you give nice and my love on, but you can stop giving the love on. I still got to tell you what I got to tell you. That doesn't make you closer to me because you give love offers to me. I'm not the one who's going to reward you for giving me the love offer. He's the one who's, matter of fact, the only reason why you should be giving the love offers in the first place is because I've already blessed you. Not because I'm going to bless you. According to Galatians chapter 6. That I learned a long time ago, shared this story a long time ago. See, men might set your salary, but God determines your income. So it don't matter whether you can't mess with my money just because you don't like what I got to say.
That's it.
Because God's got so much more. So when you lose focus and you are blinded by what God wants you to see, you cannot be used by God nor bless the people of God. So they're blind. But then notice what he says. He says, they are all ignorant. Now, they are without knowledge. You see, my brothers and sisters, the reason why people can do what they can do is because they don't really know better. Because if they truly knew better, they were not ignorant of the word of God, the truth of God. Everybody won't get up and leave, but there are responsibilities with leadership. And I don't care what leadership position you are in, God is holding you accountable for that leadership position. Because your leadership influences other folk. And that influence is either going to be a positive or a negative, a righteous or an evil influence. And while you may not know it, they are watching you. That's why, listen, I have been called to go through this ministry and restructure some stuff because I'm tired of having folk in leadership position who do not reflect my spirit. A loving pastor. I'm not no stuck up holier than thou acting, you can't touch me kind of folk, and I can't have folk around me who people can't love and see the love of and say that's an extension of pastor. When you see him, you see them, because I'm an extension of Jesus Christ. No, I can't go eat at everybody's house, and no, everybody can't come eat at my house. But when we're talking about church business, that there ought to be a one and same for all. Something's wrong when every usher at every door can't reflect the spirit of Jesus Christ and the pastor of that ministry. And I got news for you. If y'all come through here and any of our ushers are not smiling and greeting you with the love of God, let me know about it, because we need to get them off the door. Because I don't want nobody coming up in here saying, oh, them folks too funny acting up in there, because the usher gave the wrong impression of the pastor. Somebody ain't hearing me here, huh? None of these ministerial staff, yeah, the women are cute, but they ain't that cute. That they gonna act all sedity and they're not here to minister. The brothers are here and they're not here to minister. Something's wrong if they don't reflect You need to tell me about it because they're messing up the ministry. I got deacons who can't deek. I went to your deacon, but they couldn't pray for me. They couldn't minister to you. You need to let me know they don't need to be there. Can I get a witness, deacon? I got some deaconesses who are supposed to be like mothers to the young women, to teach them how to act, how to dress, how to walk, how to talk, how to live, how to treat their husbands, how to treat their families. But if they're acting like something that's other than God, you need to tell me about it so we can straighten them out. I got musicians. Y'all better put a smile on your face over there. I want you to know I don't want them playing godly music in here and clubbing music in a club somewhere. You got to make a choice. This is music unto the Lord. You need to know, well, Pastor, I know I shouldn't have been there, but you had some of your musicians over there. They were getting down, and I see them on Sunday morning doing the same thing. See, he said you're going to have to make a choice. Whose side are you going to be on? God's side or the devil's side? You're going to have to come. God can provide your every need. You're going to have to make a choice and say, God, I trust you. Yeah. If it's money I need, God, you can make up the money. Yeah. But I can't represent you in two frames, two places, two spaces. I need to make a stand and say, God, I trust you. And God will honor you and give to you what you have need of. And all as we walk through this, he says they were all ignorant of the fact that they were responsible and accountable. They were ignorant of what God expected to the point that they could give the right word to the people so that the people could walk in a right way with God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Come on, they clap those hands like this. Come on, push your hands together.